Welcome to the June 12th, 2005 edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. Thank you for joining me tonight. We have a very exciting program lined up for you. My friend and patient Vince joins us to share his story of how natural medicines have alleviated many of his different illnesses and physical injuries, daily severe eye pain, chronic migraine headaches, and back, shoulder, neck, leg, and Achilles tendon injuries. Stay with us to learn what was causing the stabbing eye pain in Vince's eyes, how bad his migraine headaches were, how often he suffered from them, and what he did to overcome these debilitating migraine headaches. Let me tell you about the upcoming topics for the next few weeks. Next week, our topic is about osteoporosis. Osteoporosis affects 1 in 3 women over the age of 65 and is responsible for causing hip fractures in 1 in every 6 women 85 years or older. Unfortunately, 20% of these who suffer from a hip fracture do not recover from their injury. Tune in next Sunday to learn what osteoporosis is, how it causes bone fractures, and what you can do to prevent it and treat it if you already have it. Then in 2 weeks, on June 26th, our topic will be about the most debilitating disease in the world, diabetes mellitus. Tune in to learn what diabetes is, how it develops, how it destroys the human body, what diseases it predisposes you to, why conventional medicines don't work, why you must take control of your medical care if you have it, then finally, what you can do to prevent diabetes from developing in you, and if you already have it, what you can do to take control of it. On June 26th, what you need to do to beat diabetes. On July 3rd, my patient Kate joins us to share her story of how she suffered from chronic migraine headaches, fatigue and allergies, and what she did to overcome them naturally. Then in 4 weeks, on July 10th, the pet doctor will be joining us. Veterinarian Dr. Wendy Asato will be sharing with her knowledge of natural pet medicine. Then in 5 weeks, on July 17th, our topic will be about a form of mental, emotional, and physical health that is typically ignored in our picture-perfect world today, domestic violence. Join me to learn what spousal abuse is, how common it is, and where it is, and what you can do to help. Next week, osteoporosis, what it is, how it causes spine and hip fractures, and what you can do to prevent it and treat it if you already have it. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the health, wellness, and alternative medicine industry. Nutrix Hawaii produces the bioastin, the natural astaxanthin, and organic spirulina pacifica in powder, crystal flakes, and tablets since 1983. DeVita Natural Skin Care, engineered by nature and formulated by science for healthy, vibrant skin. The Pan American MOA Foundation, promoting true health through art and beauty, nature forming, and jurei, the medical art from Japan. Enzymatic Therapy, producing innovative quality supplements for your healthcare needs. The Flora Supplement Company, producers of liquid phytocapsules and quality nutritional supplements for a healthy digestive tract, bone health, and detoxification. The Good Health Food Store, more than just a health store. And the Island Wellness Center, the chronic illness specialists. Stay with me to learn how much pain Vince suffered from, what was causing the sharp stabbing eye pain, and what he did to overcome his chronic migraine headaches right after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from the Pan American MOE Foundation, Enzymatic Therapy, and the Flora Supplement Company.
Dr. Jason Uchida of the Island Wellness Center. Dr. Uchida is trained and licensed as a naturopathic physician and has been in private practice since 1988. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Uchida is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine. You may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office at 615 Pi'ikoi Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii 96814, or phone 589-1955. That's 589-1955. You may also email Dr. Uchida at wellness@pdchawaii.com.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, my patient and friend Vince joins us to share his story of how he suffered from severe stabbing eye pain and bimonthly migraine headaches and what he did to overcome them. Vince, welcome to the program.
Aloha, Dr. Uchida, and thanks for having me on the program.
You are welcome. a lot of people are just dying to find out how much pain you were in. But before we talk about that, Vince, I wanted to just mention that Vince is a pretty big guy. He's over 6 feet tall. He used to play hockey. And, you know, if you're playing hockey, you can't be a wimp, right? You got to be pretty tough. So Vince can take pain. But tell us, Vince, about that sharp stabbing eye pain that you used to experience. When did it start and, you know, what did it feel like?
Sure. Actually, the stabbing eye pain was back in my college days when I was wearing contact lenses. And for the most part, I thought it was due to contact lens. I used to wear hard lens back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it would rub the cornea and irritate it. There were abrasions that doctors did look at and examine. And so I actually got off of hard contact lenses and went to eyeglasses. And I didn't have the eye problem anymore. But shortly thereafter, I noticed that every now and then I would wake up in the morning and I would have stabbing eye pains, especially in my right eye. And sometimes my eyes would feel as if they were glued with cement.
Glued
stuck. As if
they
were locked shut, and I couldn't get my eyelids to open, which was very, very painful, especially when I needed to see where I was going when I got up from the bed. So that was something that over time I thought that I should do something about it to find out what was causing it.
How often was that happening in the morning?
I would say on a monthly average, probably 4, 5, 6 times a month.
Mm-hmm. What was locking or cementing your eyes together?
There was no moisture. It was as if
it's
somebody sucked out all of the water out of my eye. It was like a dried raisin. There was nothing in there, and it was actually scaring me, very, very worrisome. So I figured I'd better do something about it in a hurry.
And you mentioned it was a stabbing pain in your eye.
Right.
Describe that. Well, I mean, what do you mean?
It would be as if somebody was taking a sewing needle and putting it in your eyeball, right at the pupil, and it was really, really intense.
That's painful.
Very painful. And I was kind of in a catch-22 where the pain was, if I tried not to blink, my eye would dry out and it would hurt. If I closed my eyes, eventually my eyes would water from the pain, and of course the salt water that was discharged from the teardrops would sting. So it was one of those things where the only thing I could figure out what to do was to get an ice pack, put it over my closed eye, and try not to move my eye at all, which is very difficult.
So if you just moved your eye, even though your eye was closed, it would hurt.
It would hurt, right.
Because it would feel like it was rubbing on something, I guess.
Rubbing, right.
Like on sandpaper.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible.
So how long was that going on?
Decades.
Decades? Decades.
You probably went, why didn't I do something about it sooner?
You must have saw some ophthalmologists, though, right, and eye doctors?
Actually, I did. I saw several ophthalmologists and asked them what could be done. And, of course, they said, oh, your classic symptom, your dry eye. And they gave me ointments, which I thought aggravated the situation. It was an oily ointment that a doctor gave me that I would stick in my eye before bedtime, which within 30 minutes, I felt like my whole eye was completely dried out from the oil.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it made it worse?
It actually made it worse, so I discontinued that. Then there was a series of eye drops and sterile solutions that were given, which were good, I mean, at the time, but how do you put those in while you're sleeping? Because the problem is, once I went to bed, over an eight-hour period, I get
it
up,
would dry
my eye was dry.
Uh-huh.
So what I have to do is set the alarm every 2 hours and wake myself up, put eye solution in.
So, yeah, you didn't do that, though.
No, of course not.
So how long was this going on? Did you say over 10 years?
At least 10 years, 15, I think. It's hard to put
like 15.
Put back a history on it, but it was long enough to the point where I had become accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And just accepted it was part of my...
Well, your life?
Yeah, part of my lifestyle.
That somebody was... like shoving a sewing needle in your eye.
Right.
Oh, man. You can put up with a lot of pain, man. Kids. So tell us about the cement, though. You know, the cement in your eyes, the mucus that... I think you mentioned to me you have mucus forming in your eye, right?
It was strange. There were mornings where I'd get up and it was just a cement eye with no fluid or anything in
okay.
it, in my eye. Then there would be mornings where it was like a cheesy... milky white fluidish substance in my eye that I would have to clean out with my fingers and actually pull out of your eye.
Yeah, because it was all stuck in there.
Stuck in there underneath my eyelids, and I thought, my God, where is this stuff coming from?
coming from me. Okay. How long did you suffer with the mucousy eye?
About the same amount of time.
About 15 years or so. So some nights, some mornings you woke up with your eye totally dry and cemented shut. Other mornings you wake up with this mucus in your eye.
With the mucus.
And your eye was still cemented shut.
Right.
Ah. And it hurt just to try to pry them open.
It was one of those things where in the places I lived, I kind of knew where the bathroom was, so I would kind of grope and then find the eye solution. Of course, later on, I figured out how to keep that near my bedside. And then I would just force the tip of the eye drop bottle into my eye and force the fluid in so I could get it to work. That's pretty nasty.
Yeah. That sounds bad. You know, Vince is a smart guy. He has 2 master's degrees. It took you how long to figure out to put that next to your nightstand, man? Okay. So what did you think was causing your eye pain and the mucus? Any idea? I mean, you went to, sounds like, about 3 specialists.
Some of the doctors, I mentioned I played ice hockey, and there were times I get to bed late at night, 1:30 after a game.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was probably lack of sleep. Some of it was related to my possibly the stress due to the nature of what I do for employment, being a high school counselor. So I heard some stuff on that, and it sounded
reasonable,
and so I figured, okay, during summer vacations it should be less, but it wasn't. I figured, well, all right, so it's not stress related, it's not sleep related. So.
Okay. So Vince, you came in to see me, and I was seeing you before this time actually for back injuries and stuff from hockey.
Right.
But in July of 1999. You came in and you were looking really depressed.
Right.
And then you told me the story of your eye.
Right. And the unusual thing about my relationship with you as a patient, it was that all these years that I've been seeing you prior to that, never thinking that you could possibly treat a situation I was about to bring you. And at that point, I had already consulted with a number of doctors and a hospital. MRI tests were done to scan my brain because the migraine headaches that I was experiencing were just tremendously severe, along with the
eye problem. Which could be related to each other, right?
Well, I didn't know at the time, but now we know.
Yeah.
They were very much related. At the time I mentioned the problem with the migraines, I only did so in chance that you could refer me to someone that would know what they were doing, because the doctors I'd seen prior were not helping. They subscribed some medications that were good only at the point of receiving a migraine hit and then taking the medication thereafter to alleviate some of the pain. But I wanted to get at the core. I wanted to be able to prevent the migraine from happening rather than taking something post-migraine headache.
Right.
And so at that time, I was pretty depressed. I was pretty much down on myself. I was actually wondering about my ability to be employed, because the migraine headaches I was suffering were taking me away from work. 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 days a month. I would get 2, maybe 3
migraines
a month, and it was amazing the amount of emotions that are tied into a migraine headache. I was saying things, doing things, feeling things that I don't normally feel.
Yeah.
That were attached to a migraine headache, and I knew something had to be done. So in my depression at the time, I says, "Doc, do you know anybody that can help me with a migraine headache?" And at that time, I said, "Sure, I treat migraine headaches."
Yeah.
When I heard that, at first I thought you were joking, of course. I said, no, Doc, this is, I'm not trying, I don't want to be funny here. I'm serious. Do you know anybody? He says, "Yeah, I treat them." I believe my next question was, what is your rate of healing? And you said, it's 100%. I says, "I'm in no mood for jokes right now." I'm serious. He says, "No, I'm serious. We treat them, and if you follow my strict program and you follow the diet I'm about to tell you, then most likely the migraine headaches will pass." Okay. And at that point, I was so desperate. Show me what I need to do.
Yeah.
I'm yours. Let me know what I need to do, and I'll do it.
So we're talking about 2 problems.
We just want
to tie it in together for people. But when you came in for the eye problem, when you told me about the eye problem in 1999 of July, I ended up looking in underneath your eyelid.
Right. And I thought that was unusual for a naturopath. I says, "Well, Vince, why don't I go in there and take a look? I'll get a flashlight." I said, "Sure." So So he went in there and found three, what I believe were corpuscles or...
I don't know what...
Little cysts?
Yeah, they were little, like, calcified cysts.
Okay, calcified cysts.
And underneath your right upper eyelid.
Right, just above the tear duct.
Yeah.
And I says, oh, that's interesting. And I says, can you take them out? He says, well, no, I'm actually... That's not part of what I can do, but perhaps you should see your doctor, your eye doctor, and have those removed. I said, sure, I know just who to see. And so I made an appointment with my eye doctor, went in. The eye doctor had, when we first met, she had difficulty locating where they were, and I had to specifically tell her exactly where
where
they
were
and how deep into the eyelid they were, and she found them, which was kind of interesting.
Did she ever look in your eye or under your eyelids before?
When I first came in that time?
No, yeah, with her, to see the eye specialist.
Yes, and she didn't find
anything.
They
never found anything.
She didn't find anything, and I said, no, doc, it's specifically here. Please go in a little further.
Yeah,
you should
yeah.
find three little bumps, and she found them. And she went right to work at them and took
sure
a scalpel, cut them down, and gave me an antibiotic solution for the healing part of it, and haven't had any problems since with those three cysts.
She removed them.
Since she removed them.
So you just had to point it out for her.
Right.
But and your eye problem disappeared after that?
Actually, the recurring abrasions that I wake up in the morning disappeared, but I was still getting the dry eye and the cement eye.
Okay, and the cement
right.
eye. Okay. All right. And that's important because Vince had mentioned the antibiotics and a few other things. Now we're going to talk about the migraine headaches, though, that Vince was talking about. You mentioned that you would get 2 to 3 a month that would debilitate you totally for maybe up to 6 or 7 days out of the month.
Yes. When I first started noticing migraine headaches, they were coming on maybe once every couple of months. That was back in the early 90s.
Okay.
And as time went by, of course, they got more frequent and got more intense, and then... they actually started to form in clusters, which are terms I understand now that I didn't understand then. In other words, instead of getting one and being debilitated for a day, I would get a series of 3 or 4 over a 3 to 4 day period,
mm-hmm.
which would put me out for a long period of time. That can get a person depressed in a big hurry because you think you're over one,
mm-hmm.
and then within 20 hours, another one comes.
Yeah.
And I just, it's part of my life I really don't want to remember.
So you were getting 2 or 3 for about how long? Were you getting 2 to 3 migraine headaches?
I'd say I've been living on the islands for about 11 years now, and I would say that was starting to occur the past 8 years prior to treatment with you.
Wow, okay. Long time. 2 to 3 a month for 8 years.
For about 8 years.
Okay, so I talked to you about the migraine headaches in 1999.
Right.
So yeah. since about 1991 or so.
Right.
Okay, so let's see. Tell us about the migraine headaches, because one, cluster headaches typically happen in males, right? But usually cluster headaches are the most severe type of headache to have, even more painful than migraine headaches. But describe how painful they were and, you know, like, what you would experience, because you would experience multiple things. Visual things would come on.
Right, and the routine. I would call it the routine of the migraine headache.
Okay.
It didn't change by much. There was always an early warning sign, and the early warning sign was that a little piece of my vision would be missing directly ahead of me.
Just in the center of your vision.
In the center of my vision, as if there was not black or white, it was just clear. But nothing was there.
Nothing was
like,
there.
Like a periscope pole, just clear.
Mm.
And when I began to understand what they were, that's at that point I knew I had 20 minutes to 25 minutes before the pain would come. So it would start out with a little loss of vision. Within a few minutes of that, I would get these kind of what I would call like the UH rainbow symbol with the squiggly lines. Squiggly lines.
Yeah, okay.
It looked like multiple Z's, the letter Z's.
Right.
And they would come in squiggling and squirming and jumping and in and out of my picture on the top left and top right of my
vision.
And as the minutes went by, that clear little part of my vision that I could not see would expand until almost half my vision was gone. And then slowly the vision would come back. And as the vision would come back, the pain would come. And the pain was nasty and intense. So intense that sometimes I would throw up.
You'd feel nauseated.
Feel extreme nauseousness, break out in sweats. Of course, the typical thing, close all lights down, turn down the shades, lay down, completely debilitated. The other problem with the migraine headaches is that I was unable to eat, and I would lose a tremendous amount of weight, especially with the cluster headaches.
So if those were several days in a row, yeah.
Oh, if they were going on several days in a row, I would basically be drinking water and maybe some celery or some salad. That's all I could do. And I would lose a tremendous amount of weight. So by the time I would come to an end of a cluster headache, just the mere idea of trying to put my weight back on and getting my strength back took 2 days just to recover from that. So it was just that cycle. I had to do something because I couldn't live like that.
Yeah.
3-4 days of clusters with 2 day recovery.
Yeah.
There's got to be, life has got to be better than this.
Yeah, that's 7 to 10 days maybe shot from the cluster headache.
Right.
So tell us about the pain. I mean, what did you feel with the pain of that migraine headache or cluster headache?
The pain came on gradually as it got more intense and reached its peak. It wasn't what I would call a throbbing pain. For me, it was intense, and it stayed there. And it was pretty much either in the front of my head or around my temples. And it did not pulsate with breathing. It was just intense.
Intense pain.
Intense, and it did.
So it was like a throbbing pain without the throb.
Right, no throb. It was just constant. I've never had anything like it. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. So I something had to be done, yeah.
So you turned off the other lights. Did noise aggravate you too? It must have.
No, noise wasn't really
a problem,
a big factor. But phone calls, TV, conversation with another person, that had to cease.
Yeah,
just couldn't focus on it.
The pain was so bad, you just couldn't focus on anything.
In fact, even trying to talk to somebody could actually make me more nauseous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just basically just close my eyes and try and forget what was happening.
Yeah. So, you know, I found that kind of interesting, Vince, because, you know, I was treating you for a couple of years already for off and on for back injuries and neck injuries from hockey and stuff. And I never knew you were being hampered, you know, month after month after month with migraine headaches. Because you hid that well, or you tried to live life beyond the migraine. You must have saw a specialist for the migraine headaches.
I did. As I said, I started out with my regular doctor at Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And good guy, real good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of approach to patients as you do, very personable. After every treatment, we go back to his office. We talk as if we were just friends and kind of do a debriefing, and then I would go from there. And I felt very close to him, but unfortunately, he couldn't provide what I needed. He, of course, identified the certain trigger foods, the hot dogs, the chocolate, the alcohol, suspend that.
Mm-hmm.
And when that didn't work, then he recommended triptans, I believe they were.
Medication,
which I tried. That still wasn't helping, and so then he says, well, why don't we schedule an MRI? As I said previously, so we did an MRI and they found nothing. At that point, I think he referred me to another doctor for a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that doctor identified the cluster headache syndrome, said it was typical amongst males,
mm-hmm.
which in a sense gave me some relief that, okay, I'm not the only one, but
yeah.
Okay now, but what do we do about this?
Right.
How do I heal this?
Yeah. How do I not have them anymore? Right.
It's great to identify, but what do we do past the identification? Unfortunately, they were good people. They just couldn't help me beyond the identification,
mm-hmm.
other than the medication that they prescribed to stay off those three trigger foods.
Okay. Were you referred to another specialist after that?
I think it was the Dr. Pierce, yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of interesting because I want to read what the report that Dr. Pierce wrote to your internist. He said that Vince, suffers from very prominent vasoconstrictive stage of migraine complex, very complicating to treat. I recommend the patient take Midrin when the headaches begin. If the migraine is no better in an hour, use the triptans or the Maxalt. Prominent vasoconstrictive migraine headaches are always tricky to treat in these patients as you do not want to intensify the vasoconstriction and create more problems. So they were just trying to release valves and open up valves, basically, in your brain with the medication. But they weren't really treating the cause.
Right.
And the medications, did they help you? The max out and the triptans?
It didn't prevent the migraine from happening. It did slow down the pain somewhat. But the side effect I didn't care for was I had constipation problems
from
the medication.
Okay.
So then I thought, well, geez, knowing enough about my field of study, I thought, if I'm constipated, then this stuff must be drying me out.
Drying me out.
Which
more.
Was, of course, complicating my dry eye problems. So I'm thinking, this isn't working. This
okay.
is not working for me.
So then, why? I guess you didn't seek a naturopath's help. I guess we just stumbled upon each other.
and that's the funniest thing about our relationship is that I've been seeing you, I think, 2 to 3 years prior, and not really understanding what a naturopathic does. I didn't know enough to know to even approach you with the dry eye problem or with my migraine headache problem until I was at my last wits. And then I just brought up the information for referral purposes. And then when I found you could treat it, I said, okay, let's see what you got.
Yeah. Prove it. Prove it. Okay, so Vince used to suffer from a lot of migraine headaches. They were really bad, and I told him that we would be able to fix him with not much problem. But before we go there, Vince, I wanted to ask you, what did the ophthalmologist say when she found those three things, the three grains of sand-like things stuck in your upper eyelid that she had missed earlier?
She didn't apologize.
She didn't apologize for missing them.
But she has a great sense of humor, and I'm comfortable with her only because she worked under she worked as an intern under the doctor that originally did my eye laser surgery about 11 years ago. In fact, I thought it was the eye laser surgery that was actually part of my dry eye problem, and I actually went back to Los Angeles to consult with him, saying, hey, I have this problem. Have you had other patients have this problem too?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yes, we have. And I says, oh, is it somewhat related to the laser surgery? He says, well, we don't think it is. But here's some solution. He was one of the doctors that prescribed solution for me.
So. And we're going to find out what's causing all these problems
in
people's eyes with the dry eyes in a few minutes.
In fact, you know what? He even came up with one idea, which I didn't go for. He said, surgically, we could have you seal your tear ducts to prevent your eye fluid from escaping. And that should be able to keep your eyes moist during while you sleep. I said, no, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah. That might create more problems.
Yeah.
All right. And you also, I think you had scheduled an appointment with a specialist at USC or UCLA for your migraine headaches.
I did. And, of course, they did the same thing Queens did. They ran a series of MRIs and found nothing, which was good.
At least
my brain was clean. And
I
had nothing of any neural consequences, so that was good.
Yeah. But they didn't offer you any help?
No, I told them the medication I was on, and they said, well, you should stay with that.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
And you did, and it didn't work?
It alleviated some of the pain, but it still didn't get at where I wanted to go with it. How do I get to the root cause? How do I prevent it from happening rather than taking something to alleviate the pain after I've received the headache?
Okay. And then you came in to see me, and what did I tell you was causing you migraine headaches?
You mentioned a word I thought was related to marijuana. You mentioned the word candida, if you don't mind me. I said, candida. No, I don't smoke marijuana. So I explained that to me, and of course you did. It was a type of bacteria that flourishes in our intestinal tract, and that naturally flourishes in our intestinal tract. It's just that it gets out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that these are things I've never heard before. I said, so you said, well, if you want to learn more, here's a book that I'll loan out to you, which I thought was generous. Took the book home and I read it. You also gave me a 4-page list of the do foods and the don't foods. And, of course, I went over that list with you while we were meeting, and I says, Doc, you're asking me to change 90% of my diet.
That's right.
I don't think I can do this. He says, well, do you want the migraines to go or not? I says, I want them to go. He says, well, at least give it a go. I said, all right.
So what were you thinking when I told you, one, that we could help you for your migraine headaches that none of the specialists could help you for, and two, that it was being caused by fungus?
Right. Disbelief. I'm sorry, but, you know, that's my first reaction was no.
Everyone says that. You know, I mean, you're not alone.
Right, disbelief. And okay. And, of course, learning something like Candida, which is a fungus-related ailment. And the beautiful thing, I thought, was that you were very patient with me and you brought out some of your old medical books and showed me where in your medical books it described what fungus was, the types of fungus, and how it affects different parts of our body. And I was amazed that when you read those books that you also informed me that those were the same books that medical doctors also read in their studies.
Yeah.
I went, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So how come nobody's paying attention to the fungus part of the body?
That's what I wonder all the time. So, Vince, in your past, though, to get a fungal infection, typically you have to take a lot of antibiotics or steroids or estrogens, which you never took, and or have abdominal surgery. But we found out through your past that you took a lot of antibiotics. From what?
Right. And one of the things you did also was you had me do a history. I think it was an inventory, a history of my medical past history. And I was on antibiotics for 5 to 6 years, not for any physical ailment. It was for acne during high school year and I think my first year of college. And I was on those for 5 straight years, not knowing that antibiotics could have some future repercussions, which they did later on,
mm-hmm.
in the form of migraine, headaches, and dry eye.
Mm-hmm. And then you'd have like sinus or sore throats maybe 3 times a year.
Right. Well, at the time I was taking the antibiotics, of course, I was never sick one day in my life in high school. It was an amazing thing. I thought, this is good stuff. So, and then when I suspended it, you know, the acne was no longer an issue with me. Of course, I dropped the antibiotics. And then for 5 or 6 to 7 years, I was good. My health was still good. Seemed after that, I guess, as that worked its way out of my system, then I would get sick. Yeah, I would get these flus and these colds. And I would get probably a serious flu 3 or 4 times a year. And they would last for at least 2 weeks. Severe sore throats up to 3 days. Sinus infections, sinus cloggings. And I mean clogging, meaning I can't breathe, like as if the nose was cement, just like the eye, where I couldn't breathe through it for 3 or 4 days. It was one of those things that said, okay, this is part of what happens to Vince, so I'm just going to accept that it's going to happen 3 or 4 times a year.
This is just the way Vince is.
Right.
All right, his life. All right. So, you were sick at times in your life, even though you're a big, healthy guy and was very active. You would go through, I guess, a month, being really ill.
Right, and my diet was good. I was exercising well, and I couldn't figure out why, and I take my annual flu shot, yet it still came.
Yeah. So, Vince, tell the listening audience a little bit about the treatment that we put you on.
Sure. Well, it's amazing how far we've come in 3 years, Doc, I tell you. The major things that were totally taken off my original food item list, my things that were dear to me were, of course, pies, candies, cookies, candy bars. I was quite a great connoisseur of those things. I made sure I had at least one of those after dinner every night, not knowing that what it was doing to the inside of my intestinal tract and to my internal fungus. So basically we took out all sweets. We took out wheat. We took out tomatoes. Being of Italian background, tomatoes was a thing I was very panicky about because I love tomatoes and tomato sauce, and that's one thing I didn't want to lose. But to be on the safe side, we took tomatoes out of my diet for the first 6 months.
Pasta.
We took all pasta out. So again, all wheat products, all processed grains, all cheese. And we also took out all proteins, so it's chicken, meat. And pork that was not range free or that was fed with hormones or antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, which you know, I felt okay, I could do this, but I was totally lost as to where I would purchase these items.
Yeah, I was asking you to change your diet 100%.
Right,
pretty much, I would guess. Right,
right.
Vince, we got to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll find out how Vince has been doing the last 5 years. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. You're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on
AI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, Vince is sharing his story of how he overcame debilitating bi-monthly to tri-monthly migraine headaches with natural medicine. So Vince, before we took this break, you had mentioned that you would have these cluster headaches of 2 or 3 migraine headaches within a week or 10 days or so, knock you out of action totally for about 6 to 7 days at a time. Went to a lot of specialists. They just confirmed the diagnosis that you had a cluster headache problem, but didn't really offer you much help. And you had mentioned that I told you that we could help you, but we had to change your diet, and being Italian, man, that meant all of the foods that you ate. But you did it. You did it.
I did it.
We had a question, though, that came up at the break. Did you ever think you were going blind during that time when you had the center of your vision disappearing?
Actually, it is a good question. It was on my mind, although I couldn't believe I was actually going blind. But when I did go back to L.A. to see the specialist that did my eye surgery, I did discuss that also along with the dry eye, and he said, no problem.
Okay. All right, Vince, so you went on this diet. What do you think of the diet to begin with and how it was going to help your migraines? What do you think of it? I mean, you did it, though, but...
Well, I at the point, I was at my wit's end, and I was in an emotional trough, and I was willing to do anything it took to just have these headaches stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could not function as a normal human being, and I was really worried about my employment and my sources of income. And without a job, I mean, and I don't want to be debilitated and rely on anybody. That's not my nature. I'm a very independent person. So I said, well, let's give it a go. And you said 3 to 6 months, Vince, let's see how it goes. I said, okay, 3 to 6 months is what we'll do. That's my contract with Dr. Uchida.
All right. And what happened during the first 6 months? Do you recall?
Sure.
Wait, before we go there, think about that. But I remember you mentioning to me at that time that you said, if I could just cut my headache, my migraine headaches down to one every 2 months, I would be so happy.
Right. Right.
What happened during the first 6 months?
During the first 6 months, I noticed...
I guess actually 9 months, sorry.
Sure. The first month... There didn't seem to be any headaches. And I thought, wow, this is really working. And then all of a sudden, the headaches started coming back. And they started coming back more frequently. And, of course, I got on the phone with Dr. Uchida. I says, Doc, what's going on? He says, don't worry. This is kind of typical. Your internal system is changing because of the diet. And it's fighting back. The candida is fighting back. You're starving them. And they're looking for certain foods that you're not giving it anymore. And they're letting you know about it. And I thought, okay, we could put it in that kind of terms. And I said, just stay the course, hang in there, it will get better. I said, okay, all right. And so I stayed with it, and sure enough, over time, about 6 months later, the headaches were starting to come maybe 1 month, maybe every other month. By 9 months, maybe every 3 months. After a year, they were coming on maybe 3 or 4 times a year. I thought, hey, this is looking pretty good. So I says, Doc, what else can I do? I says, I want to get rid of them completely. So, of course, over the list, every time I go in to see Dr. Uchida for the other things, mostly related to ice hockey stuff, I would constantly pick his mind about the diet and the new food groups and other food items that I was eating, and maybe we should reexamine those, like mushrooms since they're fungus, and cheese since it's a mold growth food, and other types of food that are related to bacteria growth. And over time, I think we kind of chiseled down a diet where I think I believe you're saying I was probably one of your top 5% customers in terms of following the diet to the T. And that's the way I am. You give me something to do. If it works, I'm going to stay all the way with it and take it beyond if I can. And so that's what I did. And the great thing now is that I'd say I've been on this diet for 3 years. And in the past 2 years, I think I've had 2 migraines.
Actually, 5 years.
Have I been on the diet that long?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Since 2000.
Oh, that's right.
Since 2000.
It's been 5 years?
5 years.
Well, see, I'm enjoying it so much. It seemed like it was shorter.
Yeah. And you recall when those migraines came on? I mean, I know once you turned on the AC of your office because it shuts down during the summer, right?
Right. I'm a high school counselor, and, of course, during summer break, everything is shut down. I went in to fire up the office, of course, hit the AC, and again, another word that Dr. Cheetah brought to my attention I never really paid much attention to were spores. And, of course, I guess a lot of spores, mold spores, were released by turning on the air conditioning. And within 20 minutes, I received a cluster headache that took me through 4 or 5 days out of work. And, of course, my employer, my fellow employees were wondering where I was and if I had quit work at the high school. And, of course, I assured them I wasn't. I just couldn't function.
Yeah.
So, and then I believe another case that where I got a headache was I went on a ski trip. And when I came back to my apartment, of course, I have a little cottage in Manoa. Of course, Manoa, being very wet as it is, of course, also is a high breeding ground for molds, which also, of course, I learned through Dr. Cheetah. And the cottage was shut up for 8 days. I came back, and it was raining heavy when I got in that night. And, of course, the cottage had an odor to it because there were no windows open, and the next day I received a headache. And I figured it was due to the cottage.
Yeah.
And the cottage is old. It was built, I think, in the early 50s by the original owner. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, you take good care of the mold problem, though, in Manoa, right? Because you cut down all the brush as much as you can, clear everything out so there's no mold that can grow
right
on leaves and that kind of stuff. Right,
right. And I wasn't aware that a lot of vegetation could carry that, and the root system under the ground could carry that also. And so, again, picking your head and finding out about these things, I went on a program during one of my summer breaks, and I cleared the brush 10 feet perimeter all around the cottage, and it actually helped. And then, of course, we took out the carpeting in the cottage, and that helped, too. That carpeting was old, and God knows what was on there from past renters. And so,
yeah.
You know, and I just, I think in the last 2, maybe a year and a half, I know I've received no migraine headaches at all.
Yeah, the last year and a half.
Yeah.
So you actually have had 2 migraine headaches in the last 3 years.
Yep, at most.
Yeah.
At
so most. I know it seems like a distant nightmare to you, because
right.
you were suffering from those cluster headaches, migraine headaches,
right.
for 8 years. Big part of your young adult life, anyway. I know you're at wit's end trying to figure out what you can do to detach yourself from the migraine headaches. How do you feel about your progress now? I mean...
I feel wonderful. In fact, if you don't mind me saying, it's because of you. You really saved my life. I didn't want to want work during my lifetime, but it's opened up new avenues. I feel much more confident about myself and what I can do. My health. The other thing I've noticed along with the diet is that my mood swings in terms of emotions is much more level. And a nice side effect was that the dry eye went away. And so we discussed that, and then of course we talked about how fungus affects internal fluids.
Yeah.
Within the body, and I guess the balance of my fluids has returned, and I no longer have a problem with sinuses or dry eye.
So you don't have the cement sinus anymore?
No more.
Yeah. That's amazing, you know, because in the medical books, the medical textbooks, they actually do talk about fungus causing dry eyes, irritated conjunctivitis, they call it in the medical books, and it's funny that no one else picks up on it except naturopaths, you know. Mm. So, Vince, what do you think? I mean, do you think you have the migraine headaches under control now?
Oh, definitely. It's not even part of my mental frame of thought anymore. I don't. When I had migraine headaches, I actually felt I was living in fear, never knowing when I was going to get a knock at the door or a knock on the head, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I can move around confidently, and I have no fear, no worries. I'll go out now, and occasionally I'll. You know, when I'm out with friends eating at a restaurant, I will eat things that are off the diet, but because I feel that my diet has been followed so strong and my internal immune system is doing so well, I can afford to eat a piece of pie and spaghetti, like I had spaghetti Friday night with some friends. No side effects.
No
fun.
Side effects?
Yeah.
So, and so you're functioning well on this modified type diet? You don't feel like you're being...
restricted or imprisoned?
Yeah.
Oh, heck no. In fact, I've gotten very creative with my cooking, and I'm a big fan of all these naturopathic stores, and I go in there, and I read labels, and I try to find new foods I can cook. I'm having a great time.
Very good.
I'm a believer, and I'm going to stick with the diet through life.
You're doing great. What would you want to tell anybody who has a migraine headache or migraine headache problems or cluster headache problems out there now?
Actually, that's a good question. I've actually talked to people that have had them, and I've mentioned naturopathic alternatives and dietary changes, and most people look at me like, oh, yeah, that sounds interesting. but a little follow-through on their part. I think probably the thing that impacted me the most was what you said once when we were talking about how if it hurts bad enough, a patient will do something about it.
Right.
Well, I was at that point where it hurt bad enough for me to do something about it.
Right.
I got to figure talking to other people, they're just not hurting bad enough yet to want to do something about it.
And that's the point, exactly, though. Unfortunately, they're not at that point quite yet. So, Vince, what do you think about naturopathic medicine now?
I think it's great. I hope you guys get licensed. I'm sorry,
not licensed,
but I hope you guys get insured.
I'm sure that's coming soon.
Yes, it would help.
Would save you some money.
It sure would.
All right, Vince. Sorry to say, Vince, that our time is up. I want to thank you so much for sharing your inspirational story of overcoming those debilitating migraine headaches with us tonight.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the program and learned something of value. Please join me next week. Osteoporosis affects 1 in 3 women over the age of 65 and is responsible for causing hip fractures in 1 out of every 6 women over the age of 85. Unfortunately, 20% of those who suffer from a fracture, hip fracture, do not recover from their injury. Tune in next Sunday to learn what osteoporosis is, how it causes bone fractures, and what you can do to prevent it and treat it if you already have it.